Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace here on this Thursday afternoon. Predators tonight hosting the Winnipeg Jets, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock on the radio side of things. Willie and his crew on the television side of things will have their pregame coverage starting at 6:30 on Bally Sports. Our game day broadcast here inside Bridgestone Arena at Patron Platinum Club is brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. You can go to their website, gohermitage.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason here with you. We're bringing Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. Hockey night in Canada, 32 thoughts. He joins us every Thursday at this time. And Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. I'm going to start in a weird, different place just because I said I was going to ask you about it and see if you had any firsthand knowledge on it. Bob Nightingale, who covers Major League Baseball, tweeted out in the last 45 minutes, probably 45 minutes ago, just this random tweet that says, Nashville and Montreal are Major League Baseball's top two expansion sites.
I'm just looking at it now.
So, I mean, just that's it. There's no story attached to it. That's it. We know there's nothing going on in the baseball world right now because, you know, they're locked out. So I just wanted to ask you about the whole Montreal scene. It doesn't look like they're going to let, they want Tampa and Montreal sharing, but it does seem like that Major League Baseball is interested in Montreal as a full-time tenant. They just don't want them to be part-time. What do you make of Montreal being a viable Major League Baseball market for 162 games?
I think the biggest question is the stadium. You know, like put it this way, there's a lot of great fans in Montreal. I went to the last ever baseball game in Montreal. I drove from Toronto to go to that game, and I bought a batting practice Expos jersey, which I still have hanging in my closet, although I'm a little heavier than I was back then. I'm not sure I still fit into it. I love the Expos. And there's a lot of people here who still speak very fondly of them. And they have always believed if the stadium situation was better, that there was no doubt that Montreal could host a team. And so I think that if they could figure out where the ballpark was going to be, because they have to build one long-term, I have no doubt Montreal could support a team. No doubt at all. And I think the corporate ownership would be there for sure.
Why do you feel so confident about it?
Why? I mean, yeah. I live here. I don't live in Montreal, but I live right next to Quebec. I know the passion for the sport. I just think that, like, the Expos didn't fail because there wasn't fan interest. The end, it was simply because the stadium that they had was outdated and they needed a new one and there wasn't the public support for it at the time. And if they had built a baseball-only stadium, it would have worked. It would have worked. It's just that they couldn't make a deal to get it done.
Do you think they have the deep pockets and the funding in that market to build? I would say they need to do a retractable roof, just like Toronto. So I don't know what the price tag is for that these days, probably close to $1 billion. And to pay whatever the expansion fees would be, probably close to $1 billion. And then put together payroll and a roster that's going to be competitive. Do you think they have those type of pockets in that market?
The issue to me is, can they get the stadium built? Like, to explain how it works, to give you a better idea. So the Blue Jays, the company I work for is called Rogers. The two biggest telecom companies in Canada are Rogers and Bell. I work for Rogers, so I call them the good telecom. And the other one, Bell, I call the evil telecom because they're the one I don't work for. And so Rogers owns the Blue Jays. and they own the Rogers Place or whichever one it is that the Blue Jays play in. It used to be the Sky Dome. And Rogers and Bell together own 75% of the Maple Leafs and the Raptors and the arena that they play in. So a lot of us have assumed, and the Blue Jays are a great TV are a great TV programmer. Like, they get good numbers. They have a young fan base. People love baseball in Canada. And so we've always believed if the team comes back, Bell, which has a minority interest in the Montreal Canadiens, would be behind that. So if that's true, and I would suspect that Major League Baseball kind of knows what it's doing here, if that's true, they would have no problem owning a team.
Interesting.
And it would program their sports network. Bell owns TSN, Rogers owns Sportsnet. In the summer, what's all over Sportsnet? Blue Jays baseball. If, you know, if Bell owned the Expos or had a big part of them, what would be on TSN all summer? Expos baseball. It's, as you guys know, it's all very incestuous.
Yeah, no doubt. Vancouver was here Tuesday night. Unfortunately, the Predators lost to the Canucks. Bruce Boudreau, of course, on the bench. And former Predator Scott Walker, too, which was great to see that. Who do you trust after Vegas? Because I think everybody's going to say Vegas is probably, unless things go really awry, they're going to be your Pacific Division winner. I just want to know, yes, LA's had a nice season. Anaheim's had a nice season. San Jose's right behind them. Calgary, Vancouver. Who do you trust the most the rest of the way? Who do you think, who would you predict today to finish second in that division?
Well, first of all, Nashville wasn't the only team, only group that lost on Tuesday in that game. I took the over, so I lost too. I would just say that my pick would be Calgary. And the reason I would pick Calgary is because I think they've been the most consistent team all year. Now, they hit a rough spot recently. They went through Carolina, Tampa, and Florida, and they got lit up. They didn't play very well. They went home last week for their first game in a while. They played Ottawa, one of the lowest teams in the league, and they got their asses kicked at home, and they didn't look very good. And I was starting to get a bit concerned about them. But they pounded Florida the other night at home, so you're hoping they're back and on their route. But I would just say the most consistent team from beginning of the year to now of all those groups that you mentioned has been the Flames, so they're my pick.
Winnipeg's got six games in hand on the Predators. Yep. Oh, as we look out, it's snowing. Look.
Oh,
snow
wow.
Downtown Nashville. Preds or Winnipeg has six games in hand on Nashville as Winnipeg sits coming into tonight's game with 40 points, Predators with 51. What are the Jets in your best estimation? Is this what they are? Do you think, you know, with having all these games in hand, they'll get things going? What do you think? What are the Jets, in your opinion, to this point?
I think they have not been as good yet as the sum of their parts.
Okay.
I think at the beginning of the year said that I thought the Jets were the best team in Canada. And every time they lose, I get tweets from people saying, another great night from the best team in Canada. So I've been getting a lot of that this year. I just have felt they haven't been as good as they could be. And, you know, their coach stepped down earlier this season. I think you saw the writing on the wall. I think the most interesting thing right now is, and this is a guy the Predators fans love to hate, because he's tortured you guys a lot over the years, is Blake Wheeler. I you know, at times they've leaned on Wheeler so heavily. You know, Paul Maurice, he really trusted Wheeler and Scheifele more than anybody else, and he really depended on them. And with Wheeler out, it's given some other people some opportunities to say, okay, I deserve a bit more of a role. And it's been mixed. You know, in some cases that's gone really well. In some cases, that hasn't gone really well. I thought the other night was really disappointing for them. They jumped on Washington early. They couldn't hang on. You know, Ehlers got hurt. He won't play you guys tonight. And if they lose him for any real period of time, that's a huge, huge loss. I think he's really a terrific player. But I would say to you, I think overall this year, the Jets feel for a team with one of the best goaltenders in the league, they haven't been as good as a group or as successful as a group as they would hope to be. Now, the other problem up here, guys, is that, you know, we've shut down a lot of games because of no fans. And I think it's really screwed up a lot of the Canadian teams. You don't get a lot of games. Now they look at their schedules that just got released yesterday. They're going to be rammed with games for the back half of the season. I think some of these teams are rusty and they're not very sharp, but they're going to have no choice but to fix that in the very near future.
We played the clip yesterday and we discussed it, so I've got to ask you just your thoughts on the whole Leon Draisaitl exchange with Jim Matheson, that whole Jim press Matheson, conference. Yeah. So what did you make of that?
You know, I don't know if I've ever been in quite like that, but I've been in some of those before. I think if you're any kind of a reporter, you're going to have those things periodically. Like, I know fans love that stuff and they like to pick sides. Oh, the reporter's a jerk, the player's a jerk. Like I think I've been around long enough to understand that what's the worst thing for an athlete in terms of playing? It's losing. Losing sucks. And when you go on a losing streak and their season is getting totally derailed, they were number one in the league after 20 games, and now they're in danger of missing the playoffs, I just think they're all miserable. And I think that, to me, it's an occupational hazard. It's going to happen to you from time to time. So I don't really get too riled up by that. I think the biggest problem now is that, especially up here, I don't know how different it is where you guys are. There's no interaction between players and media anymore. It's all Zoom, right? So first of all, it's all separate. Like if that was in a room, at least two people could look at each other and say, okay, what's the problem here? How can we sort this out? There's no opportunity to do this. And I think those two have a bit of a history. There's no opportunity to sit there and say, okay, like how are we going to solve this or how are we going to reach an alliance? But I mean, I don't know. I mean, the player in that situation, he's not going to say our goalies are terrible. He's just not going to do it. And I don't know. I have a lot of understanding for people who are losing. I've been in those situations before. I generally just roll my eyes and say, okay, how am I going to sort this out or can we sort this out and just move on. But I know people love that stuff. I know they really do.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman. 32 Thoughts is the podcast, and of course he's with Hockey Night in Canada. So Elliot, they announced there will be further adjusting to the protocols. They will only test symptomatic players going forward after the All-Star break. What factor, if any, do you think that will be now that, you know, as these teams keep soldiering through week after week, it's like you go through a checklist. I know there's got to be some teams going, okay, here are the guys that have already had it. Here's some other guys. I would expect that a certain percentage of these guys were going to be missing for 5 to 7 days regardless. It's just going to be a matter of when, right? So do these protocols really change anything?
I think that, you know, once the NFL went to no testing of asymptomatic people, it was only a matter of time before the NHL did. So I'm not surprised that they're doing this. The other thing, too, guys, is that when you test positive, you don't have to test for 90 days.
Right.
So that's another reason it gives them a bit of a window. In that memo they sent out, they said that approximately 73% of the players in the league have tested positive for COVID this year, and I think it was approximately 60% in the last month. And they're basically in a position where they can almost do it because nobody really has to test. I had it, and when I got it, my work, they're the same way. Like, you don't have to test for 3 months. So I think that's part of the window here. But once the NFL did it, everyone was going to do it. And, you know, the tricky thing here is the border. You still got to do it when you're crossing the border. But I just think that this is the way we're going. And, you know, every time you report on something like this, your social media feed turns into a complete insanity. And nobody's going to win any argument, but it's not surprising they're going in this direction.
I know you've talked so much, and it's such an important thing for the league to maximize revenue opportunities. Part of the equation is getting the fans back in the buildings in Calgary, in Canada. And it looks like they have now some target dates when they're going to start getting some fans back. So how do you interpret what that does to the bottom line?
It's not good. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's not good. I think that, you know, I know they were hoping for the cap to go up $1 million next year. Nothing's been announced, but teams are telling me that it's probably not going to happen. Maybe it'll go up a little bit. Maybe the league and the Players Association agree to adjust things, but right now it's probably not going to occur. You know, today we found out no full houses in Ontario until March 14th. So, I mean, every night that Toronto doesn't have fans, it's a loss of $3.5 million. Every night that Ottawa doesn't have fans, it's a loss of about $600,000. So, I mean, you guys can do the math. It hurts. And so I just think barring the league and the Players Association getting together and discussing something, the cap increase, teams are predicting it won't happen as much as they thought it was going to.
I've thought about this, and there's no I think we discussed something along these lines during the playoffs last year, as some teams were starting to open up to a certain percentage of capacity, others couldn't. But how does it tip the competitive balance when if you're going into one place, if you're Winnipeg like tonight, it'll be a pretty good crowd, you know, against a tough rival. And then when Winnipeg's hosting teams, they won't have that kind of same support from their fans. That's got to be something that they'll have to overcome.
Well, they hate it. Like, I'll tell you guys a story. So on New Year's Eve, the NCAA football playoffs were being held, the semifinals. And I was sitting at home watching the games, and I had a player texting me saying, "It's unbelievable. I'm watching these games on my television right now, and there's full fans, and we can't have anyone in the building." And so the players feel the same way. You know, Toronto was on a road trip. They went through Colorado, Arizona, St. Louis, Vegas, and they played the Rangers last night. And one of the things they were talking about before the trip began is how excited they were to play in front of fans. Now, every time I talk about this stuff, like it turns into a tire fire up here because people are so passionate about it. But there's no question the players feel it. I mean, if I was any good at anything that I could play at a professional level, would I rather play in front of a full house or nobody? I'd take a full house 100% of the time. So I think the players do dislike it, and I think they really miss the atmosphere. I mean, you know, like if you're a great player, you don't care if they're cheering you or they're booing you, as long as they're reacting to you, and the players love it.
Elliot, we appreciate.
Go ahead, Darren. Sorry.
I was going to say, hey, we appreciate it as always. We'll see if the Predators can get back on track tonight against the Jets. Have a great rest of your week.
I asked Elliot about, you know, hyping up the Predators last week, and they haven't won a game since. So you notice I didn't ask about the Predators
good
week.
Good move.
You know, I have to tell you, this has happened to me. We had the goaltender from Columbus, Merzlikins, on our podcast, and I don't know if he's won a game since then. So don't ask me to feature anybody or talk about anybody nicely. Because it's just a disaster.
Elliot, thanks for the visit. We appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
He's so good. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. This is a podcast you should check out, Hockey Night in Canada. Willie, I know you're going to tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Yes, always great to hear from Elliot Friedman. Excellent insight as always. Time now to tell you about QC Kinetics, and this is a brand new outfit that has come to our listening area, and they want you to know they're here for you. It's an option for those that maybe have had some issues with joint pain. You're getting up there, you like to be active, but you've been inhibited because maybe you got a bad back or shoulder problems or knee problems, something that keeps you from doing the things that you love to do. They want you to be active and moving in the year 2022 without pain. So right now, it's time to call QC Kinetics. It's a free second opinion. We're talking non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. Lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. That means you're back doing the things that you love to do actively. So don't let them keep giving you the steroids or maybe surgery. You've been thinking about it. Look into this first. Maybe this is for you. Get a free second opinion from QC Kinetics and learn about these restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself using these highly concentrated natural biologics. Here's the phone number, 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. Once again, 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Don't forget this Saturday, if you're looking for a place to hang, listen to the pregame show, whether you're going to the game or not going to the game. How about Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House there in East Nashville, Willie's backyard. Pregame show has Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. That'll be from 1 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I said, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, their official location is 1003 Russell Street. And the pregame show was brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Mike Vrabel today spoke. Did you have something?
No. Well, I did want to ask Willie a question because Willie wasn't on early in the show when we had our guest. I think it was John Murphy.
John Murphy, the play-by-play guy for the Bills.
Bills. Or it could have been Eggert that said of the remaining teams, he believes that the Kansas City game and the Buffalo game, that's the AFC championship.
Oh, that was
game.
Murphy.
Yeah, it was Murphy. He's, you know, and he said, excuse me, Titan fans and, you know, whatnot, but he believed that that game is essentially AFC championship game. And I'm pretty sure there are a bunch of other people that believe that as well. Willie, where do you stand on that? Because we talked the other day, like the Titans, for some reason, well, we figured out what the reason was, i.e. the quarterback. But because of that, they're not, for some reason, no matter what they've done this year and Derrick Henry's back, they're still not the favorite moving forward.
Yeah, it's been a theme of the week. And Derek, you and I haven't had a discussion, but you and Darren have, and me and Darren have, or Darren and I have, when you haven't been on. I think it's a huge theme. I heard this morning, in addition to what's happened on our show, even Robbie and Joe had a guy on, and he wasn't even trying to be disrespectful. He didn't even think about it when he was saying it. It's a theme that seems like everybody is saying. And this is despite the Titans having beaten the Chiefs and the Bills in Nashville, and the game would be in Nashville next week. It is really interesting that that is a narrative that you're hearing. If I were Mike Vrabel, I would be behind the scenes using that big time. I would be setting the tone in the right way with the right person. The Steve Watersons, he used to be really good at that kind of stuff. Everybody's got their guy that knows how to take something like that and really add fuel to it internally. You don't even have to say anything publicly, but that's what I would be doing. I do think there's a lot of people that have not seen how good the Titans are and how much they've been shorthanded throughout a huge percentage of the season without critical guys, and yet they still earned the number one seed. I do think they're being undersold a lot publicly.
Well, it could be like Nick Saban said, good rat poison. The good rat poison.
There you go.
Yeah.
He said that after the SEC championship game. That was good rat poison. Well, it could be good rat poison for the Titans as well.
Yeah.
Would you be counting them out, you know, at least when you talk about the Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Would you use that, Derek? I mean, I know you've been in locker rooms. Mm-hmm. That probably works sometimes, doesn't work. But that gets used, right? When you're disrespected.
Oh, of course.
You use that, right? Oh, okay. That's the AFC championship. I see. You know, I would be using that.
Of course you use it as a player. You try to find any way to get, it's almost like that, anything to motivate you with this week. Even though you shouldn't need motivation, this week, and I know a lot of the Titan players as well as the Cincinnati players, they don't need much motivation. But if you can tip the scale any way in your favor, you use it. And whether you want to publicly talk about it or not, which Titan players, they will not touch it with a 10-foot pole. But I'm telling you, inside those walls, yeah, they are saying we're disrespected. Team, you know, they're looking at, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills as the whoever wins that game, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, you will use it. And I'm sure they are.
Mike Vrabel today spoke with the media in preparation for Saturday afternoon's contest against Cincinnati. This is sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. Here's that coach.
I thought there was great energy. You know, I think we worked in, you know, we worked in pads, which we hadn't been in. I think that they responded well to that. And, you know, I thought we worked well yesterday in the conditions, you know, that were there. So those are a lot of reasons for distractions, I guess, late in the year to have a, you know, fall off in practice. And then, you know, today being able to get out there and move around was good.
Was there any thought to going inside today and keeping warm? Or
no, not much at all, about as much as there was yesterday.
What do you do, Mike? It's still 48 hours to kick off, but what do you do between now and then? And can you almost paralyze yourself by just worrying about every little thing, or can you not do that in the playoffs?
No, I mean, I don't think you can ever do that. I don't think we want to try to paralyze ourselves, but I think as coaches, it's just trying to, you know, be ready, be prepared, and, you know, work through different situations and never try to predict on how the game is going to play. I mean, we've won games a bunch of different ways. You know, we've been up and we've been behind. And, you know, so we'll just have to be ready and make sure that, you know, we have everything covered.
It's only a couple hours, but do you do anything Saturday to kind of fill up that time?
No, you know, that's kind of right in the middle where the 3:30, you know, we haven't normally done something. I know that guys will come over here. You know, we do, you know, the proximity in which the stadium is and, you know, as nice as the facility is to use the tubs. I know there's a lot of guys that do that and then we'll have treatment available. You know, probably just do a quick, you know, special teams review in the morning, give some breakfast, you know, a quick squad meeting. But at that point, it's just a fine line on, you know, letting these guys, you know, kind of get away, rest, and get their minds right, ready to play.
So you release them from a hotel at a given time and then?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that, you know, I mean, that'll stay at the hotel. I mean, that's kind of everybody's choice. You know, there'll be guys that will stay there because they like the peace and quiet of it. I'm sure there'll be guys that go home. I'm sure there'll be guys that come over here and relax here, or, you know, are getting treatment.
Hendrickson has been cleared to play. Is he a guy that they keep, that they rush from a set spot, or they move him around to try to create matchups?
He's been over there predominantly on our left side. That's where he's, you know, been. You know, they'll move Hubbard around a little bit, put him inside, and you know, he'll rush from the edge. And, you know, very, very good player, very good motor, excellent motor. You know, he's a relentless rusher, and, you know, we'll have to be very good against him. He's, you know, been disruptive.
What do you tell the guys to kind of balance being able, like, you want to go out there and be excited, but you want to take it forward. Just, it is just a game, even though it's kind of like do or die. Like, how do you get the guys to balance?
Well, I would never say it's just a game. You know what I mean? This is, you know, our families are invested in what we do. You know, this is all we know. This is, you know, our players are deeply invested at this point. So, you know, this is more than just a game. This is an opportunity to, you know, we've put ourselves in a position. Now you have to win to move on. So, but, you know, we haven't really, I mean, I think we're excited. I think we're ready to play. You know, I think we've been off. And these guys were prepared to play long into 2022.
Did you see everything you need to see from Derek?
Did you guys write those questions? That was very weird. Yeah, I mean, Derek's progressing well. You know, we'll see, make a determination on him tomorrow. And, You know, obviously, I think his workload probably increased throughout the week.
Has Quentin Spain, or how well has Quentin Spain, I guess, fit in with that line and what they like to do up front there?
You know, Q's, you know, we saw him last year, you know, against them, and, you know, he's doing a nice job. He's big and physical. You know, you see him getting to the second level. So, you know, it'll be a challenge for us, you know, as far as, you know, being able to try to get around him and when they throw. And then obviously, you know, in a zone scheme that they have, he does a nice job.
Jack Rabbit. That's what he has in this game.
Dontrell. Okay. What did you say that I?
How do you feel about him in that role, as, you know, as the quote-unquote third down back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the same way I feel about everybody in a role. I mean, we all have a role, and whatever that ends up being, a lot of confidence in Dontrell. And, you know, whether we, you know, he's playing on first and second down, third down in the kicking game. He's got an active role in the kicking game. And, you know, he's done a nice job since we've added him to our football team.
Rabbit, good after a day?
Not going to rule anybody out. So I'll nip that in the bud there for John, wherever he is. But, no, there will be nobody that will be listed as out.
There you go, Head Coach Mike Vrabel. That presser was sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. It is the worst kept secret ever that we're waiting till tomorrow for them to officially announce Derrick Henry is going to be active. But no one's going to go be like, what?
Is he playing?
Oh, my gosh. Let's tweet this out so we can get some retweets. This is going to be big news. No, it's not.
I mean, some of those, you know, his answers are basically stock answers. And, you know.
Can I ask you about the hotel?
Well, the hotel deal is, it depends on your team.
So you really just leave it up to the players, hey, if you want to stay at the team hotel? You can. If you want to go home, you can go home. I thought that was uniform, no?
Well, no, it's not uniforms. But they don't leave it up to – typically, you don't leave it up to everybody. It's like, you know what guys, your veteran guys, that can go home.
What did you do?
And just go home. We stayed at the hotel all the time. It didn't matter.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we stayed at the hotel.
Typically do.
Now, during training camp, that was a different story.
Yeah, that's different.
We went home, but the younger guys still had to stay
in
a hotel. But typically, you know, whether it's playoffs, away or home, we're in the hotel for the most part. And, you know, in regards to it's a good question by TD. He didn't want to use – Vrabel didn't want to use the word paralyzed, but I'm sure they haven't been home much this week. I'm sure they spent a lot of time in those meeting rooms, meaning the coaches. Now, the players, obviously, they got to go home, and some guys will stay – you know, hours after, you know, you're allowed to get out of the building. But in regards to coaches, no, they're in there because you want to make sure you put your players in every possible position to succeed. You don't want to get in the game and say, oh, man, we didn't cover that.
I'm glad he – I mean, nothing against – I mean, this is not a shot at Teron, but I'm glad Vrabel said this is not just any game. This is not just a game.
It's not just a game. No,
because
it's not.
That would, no one would believe it. I'm not going to believe it. Like, don't tell me this is just another game. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's round two of the playoffs. It's a game where if you win, you're in the AFC Championship game. Like, it's not just another game. And I'm glad that he at least admitted that. I mean, I know a lot of coaches be like, you know, we're approaching this like it's, you know, like game 12 of the regular season, like game 6 of the regular. It's like, no, you're not. No, that's not true. You're
no,
not.
You're
I understand you can't let it get
too big. Yeah.
But don't act like it's just any game. It's not.
Well, what you want is for the guys to stay on their routine. Stay with your routine. Whatever has gotten you to this point, whatever that has made you successful up until this point, stick with it. Don't try to start doing things you're not used to doing or your body's not. No, stick with what you've been doing every week or what you've been doing the last 24 hours leading up to a game. I don't want you to do anything outside of that. So I'm pretty sure Coach Vrabel has said that to guys. This is, yes, this is, we win, we move on. But I don't want you to start doing crazy stuff you're not used to doing. End up, you know, throwing yourself, your body clock or whatever, you start throwing that off. You start doing some extra stuff, you end up hurting yourself.
I also think that you go back through the last 2 years, they're human. Mike Vrabel naturally would think about this at some point. 2 years ago, they had the perfect mindset. They went in and they played their best at the end of the regular season and then on into the playoffs, had a great run. Last year, they didn't play bad in the game against the Ravens. They didn't just completely go in and choke, but they weren't loose. They weren't their full selves. You know, obviously Derrick Henry didn't have a great game. They lost Corey Davis in the middle of the game. But, you know, they got off to such a great start in that game, and then suddenly it just didn't flow the way it looked when they were playing at their best. You know, even on a day where their defense actually played all right. You know, their defense didn't get them beat last year. It was the offense, their strong suit, didn't have its normal game. I think that's going to be a chip on their shoulder this year to go in and just, you know, have your best game. Be at your best. Have your A game when the season's on the line. I think that might be a little bit of the thinking of this isn't just any game.
Well, I go back to that play last year versus Baltimore, the play before the half when Lamar Jackson ran for the touchdown. That changed the game for both Baltimore and Tennessee. Well, Tennessee can't have a play like that this game. They just can't. They can't have a lapse in what they're doing from a schematic standpoint. You just can't do that in this game because that one play can get you beat. And to me, that one play last year got them beat, even though they had another quarter to go, but they gave Baltimore momentum going into the half. Well, they can't do that against Cincinnati. If they are up 10, 14 points, they can't allow Cincinnati to get a cheap touchdown going into halftime.
I also think the atmosphere is going to be a lot different this go around. I think it's going to be
– I mean, it was loud last year.
I understand it's the right – but this year – I'm just telling you, there's more of a buy-in with this team. There's more even than last year.
The buy-in market, with the crowd or with the players?
I think the crowd. Okay. I think the fans.
Okay.
I believe everybody thinks that this is set up for the special run. It's set up to get there. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's set up to get there.
Well, I'm trying to – I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to –
Think last year's defense was going to get them to the promised land? No, we did not. We talked about the defense all year long, and we knew probably it was going to bite them in the behind. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good enough. They could not get off the field on third down. They could not get to the quarterback. That is not a recipe for a long run in the playoffs. So it didn't mean that you thought they were going to be one and done. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel the same as this team is actually set up at home to make the run to L.A. I just think it's going to have a different feel. I think it's going to be electric Saturday afternoon.
I mean, I understand, and I think it will, but I think it was electric last year, and I think it was electric, you know, the year they went to the AFC Championship game. I think it was electric last year because they understood where they went the year before that, and the fans were just so excited that, okay, now we got a home game too, at least one. So, to me, this defense, yeah, they've gotten more sacks, but I'm not going to say it's worlds better, you know, a world better than it was last year.
It is. It is.
I think it's better, but it's not.
No, it's way better.
Way better. They still have their problems in the secondary.
Well, their stats tell us it's way better.
But they still have their problems in the secondary, and it shows up a lot.
Their percentages of getting off the field last year on third down was what, Willie? 52%? This year it's 36.
Well, the other team.
This year it's 36-37%, which is top 10 in the league.
But last year they were good in certain situations defensively. They were a good team in certain situations defensively. This year they're a good team in certain situations defensively.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying as far as the crowd, you know, eagerness or excitement, I think it's, you know, I think the last 3 years, Titans fans, especially toward the end of the season and in the playoffs, they've shown that they are that we are a football town the last 3 years. And I mean, the Titans have given them that, given them a reason to be that way.
All right, I can't think of a better way to go into the final break. Chase, get up and come over here and tell everybody about Blue Chew.
I'm here. How are we doing, guys?
Oh, we're going to be doing better here in the next 60
well,
seconds.
Well, I'm going to turn around here and face the wall so I don't have to see either one of you guys because y'all like to have fun at my expense. But anyway, this sometimes, you know, it's an awkward conversation. It's difficult. But guys, I have something that can help you. Are you looking for some extra confidence when it's time to have some fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable formula at a fraction of the cost. It's an online prescription service, so that means no awkward talks with your doctor.
No awkward talks.
And it ships directly to your house in discreet packaging. That's good, right, Darren? All you have to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with their licensed medical providers, and once approved, you'll get your prescription in days. And guys, here's a special deal for you. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code CHASE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code CHASE to receive your first month free.
Jack, back no more. Hopefully that's what the Bengals will hear on Saturday. When the game is about to end. By the way, Todd Furman, I think he does a really good job. I'm trying to think of his official. I mean, he's an odds maker. Okay, he's on the betting shows. He's also, I think, an analyst for CBS Sports when it comes to the gambling stuff. He's really good. They old takes exposed on Twitter. They'll find you if you've put out a bad tweet. You know, over the years, they'll find it, and, you know, like their Twitter handle says, they will expose you. And with all that being said, they tweeted today a Todd Furman tweet from back, I'm going to say that's probably 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. His tweet said, Wayne Gallman is going to be greater than Derrick Henry when it comes to their careers at the next level.
Wayne Gallman?
Correct, yes. Yes.
He wasn't even, I mean, I don't know. But Derrick Henry has been great on every level he's played.
Clearly he was a big Wayne Gallman fan. Wasn't Wayne that, didn't he play at Clemson, right?
Yeah, he played at Clemson. So. But what would make him think after Derrick Henry won the Heisman, clearly was the best player in college football, won a national championship, what makes him think that Gallman was going to be better than Derrick Henry? I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I think so. This was probably leading up to the draft, and Gallman went fourth round.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry went second round. Todd Furman has answered that tweet by saying, I think I'll stick to sports betting and avoid my second career as an NFL scout. He goes, I appreciate old takes exposed for keeping me honest with garbage assessments like this.
Oh, man.
So at least he had fun at his expense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
Right?
You can't, if something comes back like that, you can't take it seriously. You just got to laugh at yourself. Like, what was I thinking?
Well, yeah, because what is your comeback? I mean, you have no comeback.
None whatsoever. I could see if Gallman was like, you know, he was tearing up the NFL as well. But nope, it's not happening.
No. Wayne Gallman has been just a jag, just another guy.
Just another guy. Willie, just a jag.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be a jag.
Who was the receiver for the Titans that
Sean
Jefferson put that on the back of his jersey, Jag, to try to motivate him?
No, it was for Justin Hunter.
Yeah, Justin Hunter.
Yeah. You're just a Jag. You got to work harder. You're not doing what you got to do. And until then, you're just a Jag. So I'm going to put it on your jersey.
Well, didn't really work. Yes, it didn't work. He went to Pittsburgh, and it still didn't work.
He stayed a Jag.
Yeah, he stayed a Jag.
And he never even went to the Jags. Or did he?
I'm going to blame the coach for that.
No, he did not go to the Jags.
Some guys you just can't do that to. You got to know your audience. You got to know your people. Yeah. You can't just, you know, that probably put him even lower than what he was.
Guys, you know what other receiver didn't make it in the league? DGB.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
old takes exposed.
That was an old take exposed of mine, for sure. I don't think I don't know if
D-Mace was with you.
Yeah, I was on the DDG bandwagon for
D-Mace
a minute.
You and I, D-Mace, were carrying.
Yeah, we were.
Like, they gave up on him too early.
We're trying to give that kid every chance, man.
And I was. What was I saying? Good riddance. See you later.
He just could never figure it out.
No, he could not. All right, good stuff. D-Mace, good to see you again. Thanks for doing this.
You as well, fellas.
We'll chat soon. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow to close out the week at 10 a.m. We shall see you then.